Good morning. One of the biggest questions that's a theological question, it's also a practical question that I get often is, why do we pray and how come some people don't get better when we pray? Do you understand the question? Why do we pray and how come someone doesn't heal? Or why do some people heal and some people not? You can finesse the question in an even deeper way. And I think it's probably a big question for us, and it's a puzzle. Even if we take prayer out of it, we can sometimes ask the same question about medical care. How come some people respond to medical care and other people don't? How come some people respond and get better? How come some don't? How come some have the miracle? How come some don't? And I think when we listen to the gospel, we have to recognize the two different cultures that we're hearing about. The culture that we're in, which is a culture that understands chemistry and understands biology in ways that the culture in Jesus' time did not. And so healing in the two places might look and be very different. But then on the other hand, who couldn't understand what Jairus is going through? His daughter is sick and dying. Who couldn't understand his pleading to Jesus? I think sometimes when we read the gospel, we ought to be dramatic about it. You know, we kind of read it. He was there, you know, and he came and he was upset and he said to Jesus that, would you come heal my daughter? Which is really not what was happening. Jairus was panicked. Jairus was desperate. Jairus was looking for anything that might help his daughter to heal, and all of us can understand that. And much the same way, think of the woman in the story who has suffered. Did you hear that line? She had suffered under the care of many physicians. Did you get that?
Yeah.
You ever been to lots of doctors? And you know, even though they didn't have quite as many tests back then, but you can kind of imagine someone saying that now. I've suffered under the care of many, and no one really knows what to do. And she's desperate enough that if she could just have a little bit of Jesus, she's not even in her mind worthy enough to look at him face to face. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And in this particular case, it would have been what's called a tallit, which is a string that would have been hanging down. If you've ever seen an Orthodox Jewish person, there's strings that you often see in their outfits. This is what she's talking about. In the Greek, this is more of the translation that we get. She just wants to just barely touch Jesus. And in her mind, with all of her suffering, maybe that might bring healing. I think all of us can understand or might know someone who's in a situation like that, that just is exasperated and they just aren't getting better. And so what do we do with this? A while back, one of the kids in my family asked me that question at dinner, and we've got a family friend who's very sick and is dying. And she just kind of said, she says, well, Dad, why isn't it working? It's like, okay. You know, and textbook priest answers don't work with your family. They don't work with y'all either. But, you know, and I was like, well, let's just kind of talk about it. And I posed that question to some friends, and I kind of said, what do you guys think? Because I kind of know what I think, but I wanted to hear what other people are thinking. And I thought there was great things said. You know, we pray so that we can invite God into the moment. We pray so that we might allow ourselves to be surrounded with a community that cares and that we might be strengthened by that. We have a conversation with God so that we might enter and ask God to be present in all of our struggles and our journeys. We pray to God so that we might understand that the healing that is coming is maybe something even deeper than we can understand. We pray that we might find God's answer. We pray that we might delve into the mysteries. We pray that God might be present. There was all kinds of great answers. The best answer that I saw was from a friend of mine named Dennis Campbell out in Seattle. And he said, we pray because it's an act of faith. We pray because it's an act of faith. And we might wonder, what is the faith in? Is it faith that this person might be healed, or is it faith in God? How many of you have either read or seen the films, about The Lord of the Rings? And you help me out and make sure I can, how far I have to go into it. So I always get these mixed up with Harry Potter because it's not Voldemort. And, you know, so if I say the wrong name, excuse that. So, but if you think about the great wizard, Gandalf, he is, you know, hundreds of years old and he's wise. And you remember in the first kind of movie, the first book, he dies, or at least he appears to die. He falls into an abyss and he's not seen. And in the second film, second book, they find him again and he's transformed. And there's a conversation at some point between he and Frodo when Frodo is struggling with the journey. In the book, you know, Frodo gets the ring and he has to destroy the ring to save humanity. And it's not just a story of a fantasy story, but it's really a story about the faith that we, all of us are called to carry faith through the journey that we go through no matter how difficult. And that's what saves humanity. It's the story of Christ. It's the story of what Jesus teaches us, that we have faith, that we believe in God's kingdom, that even in spite of anything that comes our way, we hold on to that faith, that faith would overcome the darkness. And that's really the heart of the story. And Frodo says, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can make it. And if I don't make it, and if it ends, then it's over. And it's kind of the question, you know, there's nothing beyond. And then there's this great, you know, Gandalf says this great thing to Frodo. He says, oh, it's not over. It's a journey that's just begun. And he goes on to explain that we pass from this world into God, basically, is what T.S. Eliot is intending to portray. And you have to remember that T.S. Eliot was a person of great faith. And so he was writing this, and he was writing it with the background of World War I and World War II. Just right on the cusp of all this stuff. He was writing it with not being too far from all kinds of destruction that had happened in Europe and disease and calamity and difficulty. And he's writing that in a sense to say, even in the midst of the struggles, there is a bigger journey. And I think at times we miss that. And this is really what the scripture is about today. What is it that Jesus says to anyone who comes to him seeking healing? When they walk away. He doesn't say, hey, let's go get something to eat. Let's have a latte. You know, he says, your faith has made you well. Well, there's not a bargain. It doesn't mean that if you believe that life is peachy. It doesn't mean that if you believe you get to live forever. It doesn't mean that if you believe that the rules of nature are suspended. But what he says is if you have faith, the healing will come. That it's about having faith in those moments. As my friend Dennis says, prayer is an act of faith. It doesn't take away the pain or the reality or the challenge when we go through something like that. It doesn't mean that we're not Jairus and still desperate. It doesn't mean that we're not the woman who just wants just a little touch. I love that story because there's something to that, you know, and Jesus even feels it. He says the power goes out from him. Even when she just touches, barely touches the hem, he feels the power. He says, your faith has made you well. So where do we seek healing in our lives? Where are we looking for faith in those moments? I think that's a big question for the week. To kind of look around and to ask ourselves how we might pray, how we might ask God to be a part of that. And all those answers that I kind of went through, how we might need God to be there to strengthen us, how we might ask that our community pray for us to help us know that we've got people thinking about us. I'm wearing a wristband for a friend of mine, and she asked me, she said, touch this a couple of times a day just so I know that you're thinking of me and giving me strength. That's an act of prayer just to even have one of those bands on. And I think that there's so many things that we could be doing, even praying for ourselves, even finding that we need to touch just a little bit of Jesus. And that might be coming to church. It might be taking communion. It might be being in a Bible study, just finding that little bit of hope, that little bit of encouragement. And then knowing that there's a bigger journey. That's really where faith lies. That this life is just not some random thing, but that we go on in God. And to me, there's something beautiful and hopeful and encouraging and strengthening in that. So Jesus says to the little girl, get up. Jesus says to the woman, your faith has made you well. And Jesus says to us, believe. Amen.